Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
So while we've been on air this morning, Manchester United has unveiled plans for a new state-of-the-art 100,000-seater stadium, which would make it the biggest in the UK and Ireland. Here's the chair of the Old Trafford Regeneration Task Force, Sebastian Coe, he who previously led London's Olympic bid, describing the project at this morning's launch.
I can tell you, as chair of the task force, I'm delighted to be working with some of the most visionary people that really do understand the Manchester landscape and are driving an ambition that sits in the bucket called big. And that's the way it should be. Manchester United is one of the biggest sporting properties in the world. It deserves a stadium that befits that status. And it is really important, as somebody that was brought up in the north of England, that we absolutely drive those opportunities. It's not about the economics of displacement. It is simply about what we can do through sport to help engage local communities and forever drive up those ambitions.
Well, that's Sebastian Coe. Let's get the latest now. We're joined by Manchester football correspondent with The Guardian and The Observer, Jamie Jackson. Hello, Jamie.
Good morning, Claire.
Manchester United is never out of the headlines at the moment. Tell us what's been announced.
Yeah, so it's going to be, well, a 5 to 10 year bill, depending on if they can do it quickly by sort of instalments. And it's a £2 billion project, 100,000 seater stadium, be the biggest in our country. It's, you know, they're billing it as not just a stadium, it's a regeneration of that sort of Trafford Park, Trafford area, bringing, you know, tens of thousands of jobs, a heck of a lot of money to the local economy and sort of wider economy, if you want to call it the Northwest. And yes, you know, it's got an umbrella on it under the sort of Sir Norman Foster design that's going to gather rainwater and sort of be very green and, you know, ecologically sound. All the things, you know, the sort of, how can I say this, sort of the PR messages that are kind of to sell this project. But it was interesting watching it. One of my takeaways was Sir Jim Ratcliffe sort of saying, you know, this, in terms of the speed of this, it's all about how keen the government are to sort of do this. And, you know, he sort of stressed that. I believe they're keen, but it was interesting. He stressed that 2 or 3 times. In other words, putting a little bit or quite a large bit of responsibility on this for the government. And it is interesting.
What's the government got to do with it? What are they expecting from government?
Well, that's a very interesting question. Because it's a regeneration of the area, so that means infrastructure, sort of local transport, you know, builds of sort of shopping complexes and housing, etc., etc. That's where the government get involved. That's where the government funding comes in. Mm-hmm. Yes, with regard to the wider regeneration. Now, the actual stadium, as I just talked about, the £2 billion build, he is saying, or United are saying, we don't need government money for that. So what's interesting about this, and I basically, you know, sort of put this on social media, in a sort of time of 450 redundancies at the club, yeah, so misery for many families, you know, people losing their jobs, £66 now minimum season ticket, they're closing the canteen, end of free lunches, they can't, you know, they can't really buy anyone in the market, but yeah, they can afford a new stadium. Very interesting.
It is. And you just have to question the timing of it. You know, Jim Ratcliffe gave that big interview yesterday. He can't afford to buy a sandwich for anyone who works at the club yesterday. They would have been bust by Christmas. And now, as you say, he can spend £2 billion on this stadium.
Yeah, I mean, when this was initially announced, like at the very start, Andy Burnham, the sort of mayor of Greater Manchester.
Oh, he was here with us in the studio a couple of weeks ago.
Right, okay. So he was in the Old Trafford press room about, I can't remember exactly when it was, pre-Christmas. And I gave him a bit of a grilling with regard to what we're talking about, because Ratcliffe wasn't there. I mean, he was there earlier in the day, but he wasn't there to take questions. And I gave him a bit of a grilling, sort of asking, you know, about this, isn't this really about money, you know, making money? And of course it is. And it is interesting what you just said then, that, you know, the order of Sir Jim Ratcliffe goes yesterday saying, as you sort of said, you know, we would have been skinned, and then this comes out today. It would never have been the way around, right? So now we're all talking about this today rather than, you know, what was said yesterday. Mm-hmm. And listen, to a certain extent, that's up to them. That, you know, he's a businessman. Manchester United is a business, sports entertainment, all the rest of it. And, you know, he's the single largest minority shareholder. But if, for example, I'm just thinking broadly, so if, for example, you're a Liverpool football club, and Liverpool as a city, which is obviously right next to Manchester, 25 miles away, and you're thinking, oh, okay, so all this government money is going into regenerating this area, you know, a little bit, what about us? What about our city? And so these sort of questions will be, you know, part of the fallout. Now, with regard to the actual stadium, it looks great. On the tour, the last summer tour, I was with United. We went to SoFi Stadium in Inglewood in LA. And that's basically one of the sort of benchmarks. They were looking at stadiums like that. And that place is amazing. You know, it's state of the art. You know, you name it, they've got it there. It's just it's sort of like a tiny city, if you like, with regard to all the facilities. And that's kind of what I think the aim is for this one.
Right.
And, you know, don't get me wrong, if it creates jobs and all that, the rest of it, that is brilliant.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering how this is going to work with the football decline and the fact that they've no money to buy players and they've 100,000 seats to fill. You see the problem I'm getting at?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they would say, and I would agree with this, that at the moment it's 75,000, the current Old Trafford Stadium. And, you know, they have demand beyond that. You know, there's a long waiting list, as I understand it, for season tickets. But you are right. We're in a period now where, as I just said, the minimum tickets now is £66. That includes juniors or sort of, you know, the older citizens, et cetera, et cetera. It used to be about £12. So already there's a massive hike in that. And so it'd be interesting to see where this goes with regard to demand. Now, you're kind of centering on the right areas here. If they get the product on the pitch correct, yes, and they actually start to compete properly, because they haven't done since Ferguson left in May 2013, and they reckon they can do that in 2 years from now, right, ahead of trying to win this 21st title, Mission 21 project, which is 3 years from now, 2028, then what we're kind of talking about will fall into place. But they have to get that right because, you know, at the moment, it's kind of the tail wagging the dog. You've got the new stadium prospects, and it all sounds great. But if the actual dog, which is the team, if I can use this laboured metaphor, does not perform well, you know, what will happen to us? It matters kind of nothing, really, if the actual team isn't playing. Now, you know, to be fair to Ratcliffe, he understands this. I don't think he's in the club. Listen, he's in the club to make money, but I don't think he's, you know, to do that, he has to get the team right. So if you are a fan, I would be optimistic about this. I mean, you know, you cannot argue about the ambition, but let's see, you know, how it manifests.
And we know when, you know, the owners say the manager is safe, that the manager isn't safe. Is Ruben Amorim safe after that endorsement yesterday?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, in the summer, he'll have 2 years left on his 2.5 year contract. He said, I think the phrase he used, Ratcliffe, he's here for the long term, or a very long time, maybe. So that's obviously beyond the 2 years. But you're completely correct. If the team bombs, you know, or continues to bomb, if I can put it that way, because it has bombed under him, then he will be in danger. I don't think he goes anywhere, you know, before this summer. I think they want, this is Ratcliffe and his team, you know, sort of management team, football department, a whole summer of getting in proper players for Amorim, and let's see what happens. But to a certain extent, all football managers are under threat if they lose results. It doesn't matter what club you're at.
Well, Jamie, it's great to talk to you. That announcement just made, and Jamie Jackson reacting off the back of it, Manchester football correspondent with The Guardian and The Observer. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.